Today's Bible reading is Psalm 1. It's on page 431 of the Pew Bible. It's also on the big screen. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is God's words.
Friends, let me pray that God would speak to us. God, we thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for Psalm 1. Where we are taught the wise way to live, and we ask that we would be men and women who delight in your law, delight in your word, and delight in your wisdom, that we would obey you and live lives that bring glory to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, not a bad place to start in the new year on the importance of God's word in transforming our lives and in transforming the lives of others. There was a certain man, an immigrant from North Africa, taking you back a few hundred years now. He was a teacher of philosophy, widely respected for his learning and intelligence. But like most people of his time in the 300s, he was a pagan. He lived a life of sexual immorality. By his own admission, he was enslaved by lust. Then a fellow teacher, a Christian, gave this young man a copy of the book of Romans from the New Testament. And as he read it, he immediately knew that this book was different to anything he'd ever seen before. And it touched him deeply, the book of Romans. He saw that he was a sinful man, that he was separated from God, that he had no hope of finding peace or joy in himself. Despair then seized his heart. He threw himself to the ground and cried out to God to free him from his sins. At that moment, he heard a child singing, "Pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it." He picks up the copy of Romans and reads from the 13th chapter. "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think of how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus and don't think about gratifying the sinful nature. He said the words cut to his heart, took away his anguish and his confusion. He repented and put his faith in Christ and was transformed. It was 386. The young man was St. Augustine, went on to become one of the key leaders of the Christian church. His books, The City of God and his confessions, still strongly influence Christians around the world today, 1600 years later. And it all happened because someone put the word of God into the hands of this pagan philosopher who was far from God. Who or what will you listen to in 2020? The battle for your mind and my mind is everywhere. Friends will speak into your life, parents will speak into your life, television will speak into your life, music, telephones, radio, magazines, lecturers, psychologists, philosophers, and media personalities, university lecturers, politicians will all seek to speak into your mind. And you have a choice to make in 2020. Will you listen to the voices of the non-Christian world, or will you listen to the voice of God as revealed in the scriptures? And I tell you, some of the voices in the world are so penetrating and so forceful and so constantly or omnipresent they seem to be. They're always there. They seem, I think, even in the Christian life, to dominate more than the word of God. And we may say that we believe the word of God, we may say we're influenced by the word of God, but really we listen to the voices of the world around us more passionately and are influenced by those voices more than the Word of God. And it shows up in Christians, I think, by the amount of time they spend in the Word of God. Because many of us will profess to be believers who love the Word of God and who are informed and inspired by the Word of God, yet many of us spend so little time in the Word of God because we're too busy, or because our children take our time away, or because my husband wants something, or my work wants too much of my time, and I'm too tired to read the Word of God to pray. But I love the Psalms, because what the Psalms tell us right at the beginning, they remind us to worship God and to pray to God. We've sung to God, we pray to God. And that's the right thing to do. But also we're urged in the Psalms to listen to God, to hear His voice, to worship Him as the one true God, the great God above all other gods. And Psalm 1 is like an introduction to the Psalms. It's called a wisdom psalm. It's similar to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and a Song of Songs. It reflects the wisdom literature. And so if you want to be wise, if you want to be in tune with God's heart and God's mind, Psalms tells us to get into the Word of God. And it begins by reminding us of the attractiveness of the godly life. He says, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. The righteous introduced as blessed or happy. I like that. Or it can be paraphrased, how rewarding is the life of one. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. And so you can be blessed and happy from a negative perspective. You can be blessed and happy and prosperous if you don't do certain things. And he lists three things not to do if you want to live a life glorifying to God. The first thing, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Do not let yourself be guided by the advice of evildoers, he says. See, the wicked in the Psalms are the enemies of God. They don't believe in God. They don't follow God. They don't care about God. They set themselves up as God rather than listening to the true God. They are the wicked. They are not the righteous. And they have a lot of advice, these wicked people in the Old Testament. And let me just give you one example from the book of Proverbs. He says, listen to God and don't listen to the temptations for illicit sexual pleasure. It says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. It says, God speaking, let's listen to him, that you may maintain distraction and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. And story after story, illustration after illustration in the Proverbs, listen to God, don't listen to the foolish ones. Listen to God, don't listen to the sinners. Listen to God, do not listen to the enemies of God. But friends, what are the voices today? 21st century Australia. Look after number one, it's your life. Do what you want. You earn the money, spend it whichever way you like. Don't let anyone else tell you what to do with it. Don't let God tell you what to do with it. It's your life. Do what you want. What did you accumulate? Wealth, goods and property. You worked hard. Live it up. The home, the holiday home, the boat, the holidays, the whatever you like. Just do what you like. It's your life. You've worked hard. You deserve it. Anywhere you see on television, the ads, it's all about you. Well, have another drink for young people and be one of the boys, be one of the girls. It's okay if you had a few drinks. It's okay. We laugh about it in the morning. As if being drunk is a good thing. Or you love your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Oh, but you're going to get married in a few months anyway. Well, what's wrong with sleeping with them? You love them. It's okay. God knows. All around you, your friends, your neighbours speak like that. Or gender is fluid, homosexuality is normal, marriage equality should be celebrated. The voices of the world. Abortion. You don't need this child at this time in your life. You don't want this child. You can't afford it. It will restrict your career choices. Well, it's just a blob of cells. It's not really a person yet. It's not human. It's a simple operation. You'll be okay. Millions of people are doing it. Euthanasia, well, it's your life. You should be able to end it when you like. Well, sure, there may be a God, but God wouldn't want you to suffer. So just a little needle, that will fix it up. The voices of the world, right? The atheist, there's no God. You're just the development of evolution. You don't have purpose. You don't have dignity outside of any other animal. You're just no different. Or after death, seriously, Christian, you don't believe that there's life after death, do you? Just live, you die, we're all the same, we'll end up in the grave. There's nothing after life. Don't waste all your time in church on Sunday or in Bible studies or investing your money and your life in the course of Christian things. Are you serious? The world says. Universalism, some people, even within churches, say there are many paths to God. You follow that path. A Muslim follows Islam, and a Buddhist follows Buddhism, and someone else follows Hinduism, and even the atheist. In the end, God will save everyone, because God is good, right? God is loving. I'll find you a verse which says that. There are voices everywhere. And when you start to listen to those voices, you start to live like them, or stand in the way of sinners, conforming to the way of sinners. See, once you listen to the advice of the people around you, and it happens subtly, you start to think like them, then you start to behave like them. You do spend your money like them. You do behave sexually like them. You do treat people ungraciously like them. See, once you start to listen to them and are convinced by their thinking, you stand in the way of sinners, you become like them. And finally, if you move so far from God, you sit in the seat of mockers. So do not sit in a gathering assembly of the mockers and the scoffers. Once you change your thinking about God and about what matters, and you start behaving like the non-Christian, then you sit with them and then you judge the Christians. Right? I've seen people who have been in church here, have slowly moved away and become like the world and have withdrawn from Christ. And now they look at Christians and say, oh, well, when I was young, I had no idea. I was really stupid. I became a Christian. I got really involved in this Christian stuff and I did ministry. But now I've grown up and now I've matured. I don't need God anymore. And you sit in the seat of scoffers. Like a friend of mine who told me he was religious once. It was Good Friday. At church I was, Greek Orthodox church, and he looked at me and said, I hear you're religious. Don't worry, you'll grow out of it, he said. 40 years later, I haven't grown out of it, right? Because when you know the true Jesus, when you've been saved by God through Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and starts to transform you, you don't grow out of it. You grow deeper in it. Amen? You don't grow out of it, grow deeper in it, your relationship with Jesus Christ. But you see, the psalmist says, he has to say to the people, don't listen to that advice, don't live like them, and don't sit with them and mock God's people and God's truth. But positively, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So God's people had the law, the Torah, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. God's word, and I said they meditate on it, they read it, they learn it, because it's in the word of God that you understand how God wants you to live and are empowered. Friends, Benjamin, let's talk about Benjamin. He was a barber living in northeastern Brazil. I love this story when I read this. He felt his life was complete, like someone who didn't know Jesus. He had a good job, he had good health, and he loved his wife. But that didn't matter to one of Benjamin's customers. He knew that Benjamin needed God. He looked good, he looked successful, he was happy, but his friend of his who was a Christian took the word of God to him, gave him a Bible, said, I want you to read this. And Benjamin read it, and as he read the word of God, because someone gave it to him, he realized for the first time that he needed more than a comfortable life, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And when you just got saved by Jesus, right, when you understand that you're lost, you're dead in your sins, and Christ died and rose again for you, it changes you. And so Benjamin's life was changed. But you see, he's a barber. But he's so excited about being a barber, and now by being a Christian, and by what he learned in the New Testament, that he decided to give out New Testaments to all of his customers. So he orders supplies of New Testaments. You get a haircut, you pay for the haircut, you get a free Bible. Now, in his part of Brazil, They clearly didn't have a lot of Bibles in stock, and so people would come long distances to get the haircut and a Bible. The owner of the barbershop said, "Listen, Benjamin, if I lose customers because you're handing out Bibles to people, I'm going to sack you." But what happened was that he didn't lose customers. More and more people kept coming to him for the haircuts. And they'd get the word out. Listen, if you go to Benjamin, you get a haircut and a Bible, right? New Testament. So what happened? More and more people kept coming to him. There was a waiting line for a haircut with Benjamin. And one day he was down to his last New Testament. It's going to be a while before he got his next order through. And he kept this last one on hand until more arrived. So his next customer came in. I said, "I'm sorry, I don't have a New Testament." He said, "Mate, I have come 50 miles to get my haircut here because I heard you give out New Testaments." See, some of us have like 20 Bibles in our homes and we take the Word of God for granted. It gathers a lot of dust, but not a lot of reading, not a lot of meditation, not a lot of underlining, not a lot of notes in it, but a lot of dust. Not these guys. They didn't have the Word of God. They wanted the Word of God. The Word of God would bring them life. And Benjamin gave him that Bible, his last one for a period. And not long after, Benjamin learned that 15 members of the man's family had now come to know Jesus through that one New Testament. Friends, I want to remind you, the Word of God is powerful to change lives. You know, Paul says and to Timothy, it makes us wise for salvation, the Word of God. It trains us in righteousness. It corrects us and rebukes us and so on. It breaks us wise for salvation and starts to transform us. What are you going to delight in this year? You can delight in your work and friends and children and grandchildren, delight in food and travel and everything else. They're all good things to be enjoyed. God grants us good things to enjoy and to give him the glory. But will you delight in God's word? We delight in knowing him more deeply. We delight in sharing his word with other people that they too would find delight in God. I hope you will. Because it is only through the scriptures you come to understand what a good God is. And if you're visiting this morning, we haven't really got to the New Testament. We're just talking about the importance of God's word. But what the New Testament tells us is that Christ was born at Christmas. God's son came to live amongst us. He lived, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, showed compassion to the needy. And then he was nailed to a Roman cross. He died in our place for our sins and our failures. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead on the third day. He's alive today, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he's going to return again to bring the final judgment. And that we need to be ready for that judgment. And I made that decision at the age of 15 to receive Christ into my life. And therefore I've been secure and safe in God since that time. And if you've never come to Christ, you come to Christ this morning and say, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know forgiveness. I want to know peace with God. I want to know a new direction in life." And ask him to forgive you and to come into your life. Friends, I've been reading the Bible in a year. I've had followed a Read the Bible in a Year program the last few years. And this year I've just started a new one. And I want to commend it to you. It's called Bible in 1 Year App by Nikki Gumbel. Nikki Gumbel is the founder, the promoter of the Alpha Course. He's a minister of the Holy Trinity Brompton in the UK, in London. And it's a great app. And if you can get it on your phone, download it. It has a psalm and a proverb, and it has a New Testament passage and an Old Testament passage, but it does more than that. It's an introduction, a few notes on the psalm or the proverb, then you read the New Testament, and then some notes on that, a summary of that, and then you read the Old Testament, there's a bit of summary, and they tie it all together. It's one of the best things I've seen. I've enjoyed the first 4 days, and day one, it started with Psalm 1. That's not a surprise, right? Start with Psalm 1. Delighting in God's word, that we would grow in him. And so I don't have it on PowerPoint. I only started using it since the PowerPoint's done. Bible in 1 Year App with Nikki Gumbel. You can find that, Google that, and encourage you, if you don't use anything else, to try that. Someone put on Facebook the other day, "Andrew, I just started doing it. It's great. I'm really enjoying that." And so let's get the word out. The more people doing the same thing, the more we can encourage one another. If more people are using the same Bible reading app, then you can discuss it in your Bible study groups or on Sunday. Say, hey, did you read that thing from Mark 7 or whatever it happens to be? If you're doing similar things, it helps you to keep talking to one another. So did you read that passage in Proverbs this morning? And I was challenged by that. So we want to study the word and share with one another. It says, he is like the person who does this. It's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. In other words, if you're focused on the word of God, you're not in a drought, right? It's like a tree. You've seen the drought pictures. You've seen the fires. It's not like a tree where there's no water. You're planted by streams of water. We're praying for that to happen again in Australia, right? Streams of water. But picture your life like a tree by a stream of water, constantly nourishing and nourishing and nourishing and flourishing, and the tree grows and it has branches and it has flowers, whatever it happens to have. That's the picture, God says. Get into the word, delight in it, and you'll be like that. You know, you're always miserable and depressed and having a sour puss on your face. It's like, there's a sense of joy in God even through difficulties, you see. 2020, don't go through 2020 like 2019 if 2019 was a bit tough. Go through it with a new sense of life and strength and energy that God can give you. See, friends, the opposite is the futility of a godless existence in verse 4 and 5. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But it said, those who are not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. And you know what that is? Like chaff, the wind blows away. Now, I'm not a farmer, but you see, it's the language there, and you can see a picture there of the winnowing grain at harvest time. And what they would do is they would pick up the grain, with still mixed with straw and chaff, and they'd toss it into the air in the evening breeze. And as they toss it into the air, the wind would come through and blow away all the stuff you can't use. All the hopeless stuff, the light chaff and the husk. That blows away, and what's left is the grain. It says the wicked, those who do not follow God, are just like that. They're blown away. They're of no use. They don't bring anything good. It's passing and it's useless. And they face judgment. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. See, the wicked can judge Christians now. They can judge you in the media now. They can harass you on social media. They can insult you. They can scoff at you. But you see, at the judgment, they stand before a holy God who says, these are my people saved by the blood of Jesus. They come with me, and you who have mocked my people, you have mocked my gospel, you that have insulted me, you have lived as enemies of the gospel, you go to eternal judgment. Which one do you want? Delight in the law of the Lord and find salvation, or face judgment unforgiven? It says there's a final separation, verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord watches over, the Lord knows. If you have a personal relationship with God, he knows you. You are safe in him, you're secure in him, you're empowered by him, but the wicked will perish. In Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus contrasted two ways to live, consistent here with Psalm 1. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, as a Greek teenager in Marrickville, as a 15-year-old, we were going to a little youth group. We had a small group of Christians, And what gave me great heart and great courage was this. Jesus never said that all of the nations would be on the road to heaven. He said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Only a few find the narrow road. So if I'm part of that few on that narrow road, I just have to trust God to sustain me and to help me and to endure any persecution that comes, any opposition that comes, but I'm on that narrow road that leads to life. It doesn't worry me or surprise me if Australians have turned against God, because Jesus said, only a few find it, the narrow road. Doesn't stop us evangelizing and reaching out with the gospel, because we want more of those people, more of that few on this narrow road. And Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Again, it's only two options. There's no fence, there's no middle ground. Believe and have eternal life, or perish. The Bible calls hell for eternity. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, has it, it's a present possession. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Again, two choices, with Christ, without Christ. The wise way to live, the dumb way to live. Which way is it? Trust in Christ, only two ways to live. Trust in Christ, live according to his word. Follow the counsel of the wicked on the road to destruction. Let me conclude with a story of another person who's moved from the road of destruction to the path of life. His name is Erik Lennestal. Erik was Swedish, or he is Swedish, now lives in Australia, works for the Salvation Army. He didn't always work for the Salvation Army. He said, "As I grew up, I was an argumentative atheist, a staunch communist, and a radical vegan." Nothing wrong with vegans. My daughter's a vegan. He was a radical one, and a communist, an atheist. He said, "My job was to convince Christians to abandon the faith." He said, "I was a great debater at school, university. They hated me because my arguments were better than theirs." And he understands that if you're a good debater, you can just win debates even though the other people have better arguments, if you can be a good debater. He said, "I was school at it, and I scorned Christians. I mocked them," right? He sat in the seat of mockers. "I called them weak, delusional, misguided, lives cripples in need of a crutch." He said, "That's how I saw Christians. At worst," he said, "I considered them frenzied fanatics." He said, "I was proud and boastful of my accomplishments in turning believers into non-believers." But his friends enthusiastically gave him a challenge. He said, "I challenge you to read the Gospel of John," he said to him. He said, "I took up that challenge enthusiastically. Great, I'll have the ammunition to argue against my friend, the Christian. I'll fix him up. Doesn't he know I know the truth? Doesn't he know I'm a fanatic? Doesn't he know I can debate better than anyone else?" So I started to read the Gospel of John to disprove the existence of God, to argue against my Christian friend. And as I read the Gospel of John, he said, "I started to doubt my atheism. As I read the Gospel of John, my eyes were starting to be opened to a greater truth, that Jesus was God's Son who came from heaven to earth to die for me." He says, "Against my better judgment," he says, "one day I turned up incognito." I don't know, did he put a mask and a hat on? "Incognito, quietly, to a Christian youth event. And for the very first time that I voluntarily set into a church, I realized that roof did not fall in." That was good. "And at the last possible moment, when they gave an altar call, his first time in church, this radical atheist, first time in church, they called them to come and give their lives to Jesus. Come forward, you need to have your sins forgiven. Come to Jesus now, come to Jesus now." He said, "I waited, people came forward. The last possible opportunity, they're about to close the service." He said, "I ran to the front and gave my life to Jesus. One time sat in the seat of scoffers, now delights in the law of the Lord. One time an enemy of Christians, now delighting in the beautiful gospel truths of Jesus." So in 2013, he joined the Salvation Army in its mission to save souls, grow saints, and serve suffering humanity. And when this article was printed, he was the director of distance teaching and learning at Salvation Army's Booth College here in Sydney. Going to delight in the law of the Lord this year? Grow yourself through Christ and get that word out to others. We want to see lives transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's what we're on about here. But it starts with you. It starts with a passion for Christ. And it starts with prayer, it's in the word of God, and starts with worship as we've done this morning. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your word to give ourselves passionately to the things that are on your heart. Lord, help us not to listen to the ungodly voices in our society, but to listen to you, because you are the true God, the Holy One who saves us through Christ our Saviour. And Lord, we pray that this year would go deeper in you through prayer and through the word, through ministry and through worship, and that we will get this word out to as many people as possible, trusting you to work in your timing and in your power. And Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who may be new to our church. If they're looking for a place to learn and grow, Lord, help us to love them and encourage them to meet them after this service. And for any, Lord, who this morning may need to be made right with you, I pray that you would help them to repent and trust in you, to start 2020 as a child of the living God. Minister to them your grace, I pray, right now. They sit there, Lord, just touch their hearts, open up their hearts to receive the gospel, to receive you, I pray. Lord, do a beautiful work in the hearts of people this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, just do your work. Touch lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.